And for this story, we have to go to a little known place in California where Jesse De La Cruz grew up. He knew, but he had two choices in life. Either be a farmhand like Pops or make his own path. Snap judgment.
There was a guy in my neighborhood. His name was Big Inyo. And he was basically the guy that really trained me to become who I was. Okay. And you know, everybody talked about him like he was God, bro. Like, you know, everybody was like, wow, you know. And I was like, I was mesmerized by what everybody said. And I knew he was in prison. I knew he was in prison. He had been in prison for a long time, right? And he had a wife. Her name was Thelma. And you would never hardly see Thelma. It's like she was doing time with Inyo, you know what I mean? So I remember looking at her thinking, man, that's the kind of woman I want, just like that. So I met Big Inyo when he came out in probably in 1960. Inyo was about, I don't know, maybe 6'1". He reminded me, I'm not lying, man, he reminded me of these Aztec warriors that I had seen in the library, right, in the picture books. You know, broad-chested, wide-shouldered, bronze, big mustache, hair jet black, comb to the back, you know, laid down, right? And he had tattoos, you know, like all over his body. Nice tattoos, right? And he was ironing his pants. And I didn't know it at the time, but what he was doing, he was watching me with his peripheral vision. And I was in awe, right? I was like, oh, man. And all of a sudden, he turned and he looked at me and he goes, what's your name, little vato? And I said, who, me? And he goes, yeah, you. And I said, my name is Chuy, because that's what my mom called me, right? Jesus. I said, but everybody calls me that. I won. I flex my chest, right? And he sort of like grinned at the gesture, right? And he like looked at me and he goes, hey, look at, he goes, check this out. I'm gonna tell you something that I don't ever want you to forget this. He said, never ever trust the white man and never trust the black man. He said, always stick with your raza and remember that we're in a war. And I went, damn. When people walk down the street, you know what I mean? Even though they might have not liked being Indio, they acknowledged him, letting him know that they knew he was somebody to be reckoned. That's the way I took it. So I watched it all. I said, man, you know, and he had everything. He never worked. But I'll tell you one thing. He always was dressed really nice. He had a nice car. And I think, well, how in the heck he do that, man? Well, I found out later he was a criminal. You know what I mean? So I said, I want to be a criminal. They had nice women. They had nice cars. They partied. They did all the things without even having to work. Then I heard, but they had to go to jail periodically, right? And I said, well, you know, that's part of the job description, man. You know, go to jail. So I made a decision, and Inyo began to school me. Like, in other words, he would tell me, listen, don't ever break into people in the barrio's home. Don't steal from them, because they ain't got nothing. Go out and steal from the farmers, the ranchers. They got plenty. You know what I mean? Get it from them, right? He would tell me, don't talk. Because when you talk, you can't hear what's going on. Now I talk. Back then I didn't. It's a backdrop of some mountains, right? There's mountains. And then this huge facility made of stone, right? And then you see the gun towers, right? And you see the fence, big double-length, chain-link, you know, barbed wire fence, right? And I was like, wow. And so my heart started pounding. I remember my heart started pounding, and I was like, wow, you know, I'm here, man. Okay. You know, prison, it was like a rush, you know, it was like it made you feel, it made me feel like I was important, you know what I mean? You know, like I was somebody. These were my kind of people. They all had that look. It was a look in the eye that told everybody, you need to be real careful here, you know what I mean? Because this is somebody that will take your wind, right? So, you know what I mean? Everybody had that look. I was in San Quentin. I remember one time I was in San Quentin in the hole, and I seen the look in this guy, right? And I thought to myself, damn, that dude's got the look of death in his eyes, right? And I wondered if I had that look, because I was there too, right where he was at. That's what I thought, right? But I couldn't see it because in the hole, you don't have mirrors. So I had to wait till the following day when I went to take a shower, and they give you a little square stainless steel mirror, right? And I looked and I said, man, I have that look too, man. It sort of depressed me, right? So years later, you know, when I was, I think I was about 30 years old, which would have made Indio about in his 50s. I came out of prison, I think it was my second time. And I went back to the neighborhood just to visit. And I went to the park where everybody, you know, the fellas hung out, right? And when I got there, Indio was there. But he didn't look like he looked back then. In other words, he was not this Aztec warrior anymore. He was, you know, he was an old man, you know, he was an old man. Ravaged by the lifestyle, you know, alcohol and drugs, you know what I mean? And Thelma had left him. You know, he's just nobody no more, right? And he was drinking some type of beer. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a quart he had in a bag, you know. And it was a little bit daunting to go against him, right? Because I always used to look up to him, you know what I mean? So I sort of had to, conjure, what's the word? I think that's the word. The courage to address him, you know, to confront him with what I thought was his manipulation of me, right? You know what I'm saying? And so when I've got to that point, I just blurted it out. I told him, you lied to me, man. He said, I didn't lie to you. I said, yeah, you did. The people that were trying to kill me was Mexicans just like me. Blacks weren't trying to kill me. White people weren't trying to kill me. It was Mexicans like me that were trying to kill me. It was you that was trying to kill me. I remember he looked up and he looked at me like, what? I don't think he was prepared for me to do what I did. He goes, no. He goes, that might be true, but I did not lie to you. I schooled you because I knew, I seen where you were going. I knew when I saw you that you were going to end up in this journey. And the things that I taught you kept you alive. He was right. He was right, bro. But at the time, I didn't know it because I was full of anger. So I stabbed him. I didn't kill him. I just stabbed him a couple of times. You know, I just wanted to let him know. I wanted him to feel a little pain.
Thank you, Jesse, for sharing your story. Now, Jesse has turned things around. He just graduated with a doctorate in education, now works as a gang expert, helping those falsely accused fight the charges. The original score for that story was done by Snap's own Leon Morimoto. This piece was produced by a dear friend of mine, Danielle Alarcón, who is the creator of the amazing podcast Radio Ambulante. You're going to want to subscribe with a quickness. We'll have a link at snapjudgment.org.